BYUSN expectations on the rise, as are the hot takes on BYU football. Will the Cougars win 9 games? Is BYU a top 4 team in the Big 12? A big picture conversation with plenty of spice. BYU football alum Hans Olsen discusses the most important part of BYU's win over Kansas State and previews Baylor. Does he like BYU as an underdog in Waco?
Fresh off scoring a brace, Allie Fryer joins us in studio to recap the Big 12 win against Utah and Oklahoma State coming into town Thursday. The Top 5 Tuesday features the most dominant football wins over ranked teams in BYU history. Where does the K-State win land?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, September 23rd. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up alongside a man who can appreciate when things get weird, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, let's get weird. Workaholics, a funny show back in the day. Kelis Robinette quoted Avery Johnson, the K-State quarterback, yesterday, saying at BYU, "That was probably one of the weirdest environments I've been a part of. Their fans were encouraging almost." Paging Keaton Slovis.
Get in line!
Line 4.
We've heard this before.
Yeah, BYU fans are some of the nicest people that exist on the planet. So that's funny. The ice cream, is this common? I don't know this. You're on the road all the time. Does the opposing band play BYU's fight song for BYU's fans at the stadium? Because BYU's band always plays the opponent's fight song.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's the case with Utah.
When people visit Provo.
Because Utah's band's there. So
the opposing fans typically point that out. They played our fight song.
So it doesn't happen on the road.
It happens with some schools. I saw a few people say, well, Notre Dame sometimes does this, which is not surprising. Classy. Notre Dame's one of those classy fan bases. I think Nebraska does it, also not a surprise.
Love that.
So there are a few out there, but it is atypical.
Okay, when I hear that, I'm always like, is that normal? I don't know the answer, so probably not. By the way, update on the GoFundMe for Avery Johnson's high school teacher, Dr. Chris Botts. Remember how we were telling you it was like above $20,000 yesterday? It's at $43,000 now.
This is amazing.
They've raised the goal to $80,000. So nice job, everybody associated with this, BYU fans, K-State fans, others. That continues to be a really cool story out of that game. Because we play football, we love it, we compete, but at the end of the day, that is awesome.
This is what really matters. They have more than doubled the original goal of $20,000.
And that is probably bigger than a 29-point win. Right?
It's awesome. Absolutely.
It's great.
All rise and shout. Bring out the spice. Let's get to what's trending.
I would put BYU in the top 5 right now.
Will BYU make the bowl game? Yes, they will. BYU's going to go 7-5, Spencer.
They're not only playing you, but they're playing the 65,000 fans in the stadium.
It's a defense-driven team.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. I hope you brought your palettes for hot takes today and a significant amount of spice, because we are going to be discussing several hot takes as they pertain to the current state of BYU football. Obviously, BYU way ahead of schedule. Jerem, you and I sat here last week and said if BYU beats Kansas State, then clearly they are the number one overachiever in all of college football. Well, it happened. Yep. So BYU is number one in that list of the Kelly Ford metric. And now people are wondering, well, what else can they do? How high is the ceiling, Jerem?
The ceiling is the roof, said the GOAT.
On cue. I was expecting you to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to present a handful of hot takes and rank them on a scale of 1 to 10, from a very, very mild bell pepper to the death ghost pepper, if you will. Okay?
I don't even dare look at those, let alone taste them.
Let's start with this. Because after BYU's win over Kansas State, ESPN's Football Power Index projects BYU will now win 8.3 games in the regular season.
Yeah.
Wild. So, let's go a little bit higher and ask you how hot this is.
Can you take me?
I
missed them a couple weeks ago, dude. I missed that concert. Should have gone.
BYU will win 9 regular season games. How hot is that take?
I told Graphic 6. It's actually 7 to me. It's getting a little warmer as I sit here, not just because of the lights. But, 9. Okay, so 9 wins. What would that require? 5-3. Tell me the games BYU's absolutely losing. There's not a single one. But at UCF and Utah feel tougher than the others, Spence, right?
Yes.
Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas, ASU, Houston all look beatable. Houston looks very beatable. ASU looks like that could be, that's a better game than we thought. Kansas looks way worse than we thought. Still respect what they do. Utah and UCF, those are tough games. And luckily, I have a bye week between those. Oklahoma State has not run the ball effectively. I'm not just talking Utah, who makes everyone look silly defensively. Their offense against their defense. Arizona didn't look great against Kansas State. You got to feel confident about that. Baylor, certainly you're a dog, but that's a game that you can go and win. I don't think it's nuts to think BYU could go 5-3 and finish with 9 wins in the regular season. Like, is it way above expectation preseason? Yeah, if you're 2 games better than we thought, and we're already 3 games, 2.5 games better than Vegas.
9 wins would be double what Vegas projected.
Crazy, right?
Double.
So I'm going like a 7 on the hot scale there. Maybe others think that's crazy. Like, the way BYU has played against its 2 Power 4 opponents and the first 4 games, it's not as crazy as we thought. Like, preseason, I would have said, oh, this is like an 8 or 9, maybe even a 10. Who knows? A 10 is like 10-plus wins. But 9 isn't as crazy as I thought.
No,
BYU's
no.
playing good ball, dude.
There's some spice to it. You're at a 7 out of 10 on the spice meter. I'm at a 6. And it all comes down to what happens on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If BYU beats Baylor, then this thing gets very, very interesting because confidence and momentum are real aspects of a football season. Then you go into the bye week at 5-0. You're probably ranked in the top 20. You have 2 weeks to prepare for an Arizona team that is kind of struggling and looking to solve some issues. Then I think BYU is going to get to 6-0, and now 9 wins feels very,
yes.
very attainable. So it's a 6 for me because it depends on what happens on Saturday. If BYU has the big win hangover or they struggle in the day game again, they don't beat Baylor, they're 4-1, then they're probably pacing for 7 or 8. But if you beat Baylor, then all of a sudden 9 wins doesn't feel that spicy at all. So I put it at a 6. There's some spice there, but I don't think it's ultra hot. It just depends on what happens in Waco. If BYU can exercise the demons of poor play in day games and they haven't played well in Waco in the few times they've been, they can get rid of that, get to 5-0, then I think they're going to win 9 games. Like, it comes down to me, that game in Waco against Baylor. They beat Baylor, they're going to win 9 games.
I would, if BYU beats Baylor, I hate the bye week. Because I'm like, keep it going. Let's play Arizona now. You'd be 5-0, and you know, if you lose, it also stinks. So either way, I don't like the bye week. I would rather play Arizona than bye week into Oklahoma State.
I just want LJ Martin to get healthy, and
yes.
the bye week will help with that.
We'll talk about LJ in a second.
For sure.
Yesterday we asked ESPN's Trevor Maddich if BYU is the top 5 team in the Big 12. Here's what he said.
I would put BYU in the top 5 right now. And the reason is they've, number one, taken care of business and taken care of business of against some very good teams.
So he said, hey, they're 4th later.
He's got them as a top 4 team right now.
So hot take, is BYU a top 4 team in the Big 12 right now? How hot is that?
This is mid-tier because it's early. Like, yes.
Well,
like,
it's not for later. It's for right now.
They played one Big 12 game, and then you compile it with the non-conference of what everybody else has done.
We have a third of the season now.
So it's a 5. It is medium spice. You go into the restaurant, they ask you how hot you want your wings, and you're like, medium.
Wait, you're not going to do a cup bop? Come on, man.
I take a level 5 at cup
one,
bop
two,
as well.
1 to 10, how spicy? I do a 4, but 1 to 10, how spicy?
Medium. This is a medium take. Like medium level spice right here. I can see where some people be like, ah, it's too early. Like, I'm not ready to put them in the top 4 right now. Maybe they're 5 or 6. But if you're looking at just, if you're rewarding them on the resume, and comparing it to everyone else, trust me, right now, nothing else, not thinking ahead, just like, okay, what have they accomplished?
Right now.
Then maybe that's a 3 or 4. It doesn't feel that spicy at all. But so I'm going to go mid-tier, medium spice level right there. Like BYU could be the 5th best team in the Big 12 right now too. Iowa State has played well. Utah certainly has looked great. UCF's
Iowa State's
got
only
a nice
played 3
resume.
Games. Nice win versus Iowa. Utah's the best team. This is a 0. BYU's clearly a top 4 team.
Really? Zero spice.
Clearly, BYU has the second best, arguably the best, win in the Big 12 this year. The 29-point win against Kansas State, the domination of that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what is
I would argue that Utah's win at Oklahoma State is equal to or better.
It's a road game.
Those are both, it's a road game. That's tough. Like, Oklahoma State's still supposed to be good. Nope. Knocked them around. UCF's TCU comeback was notable. How is UCF not ranked, by the way? Why is UCF not ranked? They're, number 1 in the country, I think, in rush yards per game? They're amazing. Iowa State is 4. That win at Iowa was good. It's hard to beat Iowa on the road. And then Kansas State, I would put it 5. just outside the top four. BYU's clearly a top four team. How are they not right now? How are they not?
Yeah, no, if we're discussing just like the resume
right now. It is a donut to me.
Yeah. 8 games remaining. What is Kansas State moving forward? To see what Kansas State does against Oklahoma State this weekend will be very, very interesting. We will learn a lot about both of those teams in this game.
I care less about how BYU's opponents do in the future regarding strength of schedule than I ever have. You know why? We have conference standings now. It just doesn't matter. Like, you just win and move on. Before, in independence, it was like, well, hopefully they do well, and then that win looks good, and da-da-da. For what? Turn down for what, Spence? No, it's Big 12 standings. BYU's 1-0. That's all that matters. At the end of the year, BYU's 6-3. No one's going to – what are we arguing about? It's tiebreaker scenarios. It's not opinion to get in the Big 12 title game. College football playoff, now that may matter. Like, are your wins better than their wins in the at-large conversation? Perhaps. I would love to get to that point. I'm not sure this is the year. It's pacing for that, maybe. But that's the high end of the blue goggleness. So I go 0. BYU's clearly a top four team. Just win. I don't care about how much you win by. Like, obviously play well, but, like, win games. 0 spots.
Okay. Wow. I'm not wondering if you feel strongly about that.
-10.
It's Jared feels strongly about that one.
Off. Okay. It's so obvious. It's stupid.
Stupid, even.
Yeah, come on. Oh. Who says they're not? What are you not watching the games? Come on.
Medians, clearly some voters. I don't know.
Yeah, so and so gave up 0 touchdowns against 2P4s. They're not a power four, top four team in the Big 12. Sorry, you didn't watch the games.
Hot take number 3. Yeah. Because BYU, obviously, as Jerem documented, beat Kansas State, one of the best wins in the Big 12 in week 1.
Yeah, number 2. Whew.
They jumped to number 22 in the AP poll. This is the first time BYU has been ranked in almost 2 years. You got to go all the way back to early October of 2022. So hot take 3. BYU will remain in the top 25 through the rest of the regular season.
That's pretty warm. I think there's going to be a few stumbles still. You know, I'm thinking BYU's, like, high-end, BYU's losing 3 games still probably, maybe 4. But maybe this team figures some things out to the point where Kansas State is not – It's a massive anomaly in that it was an incredible, like, game. You did some amazing things. Ball bounced your way a couple times, too. But, again, I told our graphics 6, but it's like a 7 or 8 for me. If you beat Baylor, which is a game BYU can totally win, bye week, you can beat Arizona at home. Come on. You can beat Oklahoma State at home. I know they're ranked 20, but Oklahoma State feels very vulnerable. They have not been able to run the ball. Then you go to at UCF. That's a tough game. Like, at UCF, at Utah, if you win one of those
That's
two,
what's the spiciest part about it for me.
Absolutely.
Back-to-back games right there.
Kansas is 1-3. They look very beatable. At Arizona State, Houston looks very beatable. You're going to lose a game you thought you'd win somewhere. Like, it's tough football, right? It's injuries happen. It starts raining. The ball slips out. Whatever. Like, stuff happens. That feels a little spicy, that they will stay the whole way.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome, though. Don't get me wrong.
This is not ghost pepper spicy, but it's hot.
Yeah.
I've got this as a 9.
Ooh, way
meter.
Up there. Okay.
And it's
when do they fall out, you think?
BYU's toughest 2 remaining games happen to be back-to-back, and they're both on the road.
Luckily, there's a bye, so, like, it's not, like, true.
Sure. Utah has a bye as well before the rivalry game on November 9th.
Bit of a break.
But because at UCF and at Utah happened back-to-back of sorts on the schedule, BYU to stay ranked is going to probably have to win one of those games. If they lose, if they beat UCF, they're in. And they lose to Utah, they'll still be in. But if you lose to UCF, now you're staring down a scenario where you have to win at Utah probably to remain in the top 25.
Unless you're undefeated.
BYU's 7-0, but you drop back-to-back games at 7-2. See, even then, I think they're flirting with falling just outside the top 25.
At that point, the 2-loss teams in power conferences a lot of times are in.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. And that is on how high BYU can climb on a road to a projected or potential 7-0.
If you're 7-0, you're in like the 12-15 range probably.
So, and again, Oklahoma State is right before UCF too. Like, I think some of us are kind of like, oh, poor old Oklahoma State. They look terrible. Oklahoma State will be motivated. They'll be ready to play against BYU.
But so will BYU, Spence, because of last year. Last year was extremely disappointing.
I know, the Vengeance Tour. We talked about us. Right. I brought it up yesterday.
Whatever their motivations are, I think BYU have greater. I really do. Because it's going to be in Provo, and we saw how Kansas State didn't handle that.
Welcome to BYU's
dojo.
Listen, I picked BYU to beat Oklahoma State because it's a Friday night game, and they're walking into what's going to be an absolute hornet's nest of a Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Cougar den, if you will.
Yes, Cougar den.
And Dan, you ain't praying for you.
But the back-to-back road games, that because of those UCF-Utah games, both on the road,
those are tough.
They're going to be flirting with falling out of the top 25.
Those are tough.
All right.
Okay, last one. BYU is a 3.5-point dog at Baylor. You're going to have to fight some of those demons of day games. You go back to the Independence Bowl against UAB, which I know is a great experience for you. You talk lovingly about it often. BYU's lost 10 consecutive day games against FBS teams. So, will BYU snap the day game losing streak Saturday at Baylor? How hot is that?
This is very mild to me. I think this
That they will snap it? Let's go.
This is a 3. I feel like this team is disciplined enough. They have enough cohesion and maturity. They're aware of this, and they're not a massive underdog. Baylor's defense looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, they gave Colorado some real problems.
Air Force did nothing.
But a lot of teams give Colorado problems at the Power 4 level.
Yes. 8 sacks, 4 and 5 plays at one point.
Yeah. Baylor's defense really good. Like, I think, and
they ran the score in the place.
Like, they got up to a terrible start against Utah, but then they figured some things out. Utah had a quarterback change. The Utes didn't score after Cam Rising left the game.
And they had a blocked field goal for a touchdown. They had a fumble inside the 5. If you don't have those crazy kind of plays, Kansas State probably feels the same way, right? If we didn't turn it over, give up a punt return, well, you did have those 4 massive plays.
Yes. Here's the thing. I'm buying BYU's defense.
Yes.
Defense travels. I think they're super disciplined. They're very, very prepared. And I like BYU's defense against the Baylor offense that still has massive question marks. Like, BYU's defense greater than Colorado's defense, okay? Because people are like, oh, Baylor scored 31 against Colorado.
Not even close.
Dude, come on.
It's not even close.
BYU's defense is worlds better than Colorado's defense right now. That travels. They'll be ready. The thing is, like, the matchup to watch is BYU's offense and Jake Retzlaff against an improving Baylor defense. Dave Aranda is a defensive mastermind. So there's going to be some tough stuff that happens there. But I'm buying BYU's defense. I don't think it's that hot. I know it's a day game. And I know BYU stunk in day games. But to me, this team is the team to do it, to exercise the demons. This is a 3 for me on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's, yeah, like a 4 for me. Dave Aranda's taken over play calling this year. He's doing it himself. Remember, he was the guy at LSU in 2019 on the national championship team. Like, they won the 21 Big 12 title. Besides that, they've really stunk in the Big 12. So can BYU go and win this game? Baylor's a good team. BYU's been there before and lost twice. 83, that was the one loss, and then they won the rest. And 21 was a very good BYU team that went in there and lost. That was a very good BYU team, 10-win team. The only P5 loss all year for BYU that year was at Baylor.
Yep.
Beat a bunch of other teams. So can BYU win this game? I'm feeling good about it. It has required 3 takeaways for the defense to win these 2 P4 games. Can they create 3 takeaways? Can they do it with just 1? Like, I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah.
They've done a great job of getting the ball in those 2 games, SMU, Kansas State.
Our question of the day, speaking of hot takes, what is your hottest take?
Come on.
About BYU football right now?
Let's hear it.
At BYU Florida on X answers.
Wonder where they live.
If BYU can overcome the early game time slot curse and take care of business at Baylor, they will go into the bye week at 5-0. Then they'll get Arizona at home for a likely night game, and Oklahoma State is already slated for 8:15 Eastern kickoff at home. 7-0 is on the table. How hot is that? How hot is the idea of BYU going 7-0?
The way BYU's playing, it's not crazy. BYU's playing great ball.
I'd say it's like a 7, that they'll go 7-0. Spicy.
I put it a little lower, maybe a 5, just kind of in the middle.
To me, it all comes down to Baylor. Like, you beat Baylor.
If you beat Baylor, you're feeling like 6-0, 7-0 is very possible.
Then things get rolling. That momentum ball is rolling.
Yeah, let's go, man.
#BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Just win in Waco. Exercise the day demons.
Kalani Sitake ruled out L.J. Martin yesterday. Do you care who the running back is at this point?
Yeah, I want it to be Sione Moa. I think he's earned the right to be the starter for BYU based on his performance against Kansas State. He runs tough. He doesn't lose many yards. He runs through arm tackles. So I want it to be Sione Moa that is the guy that runs out there. Again, this is based on what he did. He's earned it. This is merit-based. Hinkley Rapati, I want to give him a little bit more time to come back from injury if he does play. But I think it should be Sione and then followed by Enoch Nawahina and Miles Davis.
I have great confidence in whoever they throw out there because whoever they've thrown out there has done
enough
a serviceable to good job. So the depth there has been incredible at that position. I think only wide receiver can match it.
I would love for somebody other than Jake Retzlaff to be the leading rusher for BYU. But whatever.
Didn't have to in the last game, right?
Cougars win the game and Jake's still the leading rusher. Who cares?
I just want to win. Like, I don't care about the means that much. Like, winning greater than means.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
So that means XYZ is the leading rusher. Great. I don't, whatever.
You wonder if...
Get LJ healthy for Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
That's why the bye week is huge.
Yep.
BYU women's soccer earned a big win last night at home. 2-1 over arch nemesis Utah in Big 12 play.
Yes.
As conference foes now. Thanks to a brace from Allie Fryer, who will join the program a little bit later.
She's awesome, dude.
Was that soccer's best win of the season to date?
Probably. Wisconsin was a pretty good one. That was a ranked win at the time. Yeah, a couple Big 12 wins, ASU and Utah now. That's, hey, you like beating the rival.
Yes.
So if you like that, I do like the Wisconsin win too.
I love the Wisconsin win, but I think this one's a little bit better because of what just happened to BYU against TCU. They got blown out 4-1.
And had more injuries.
And more players not available.
Battling.
This was critical that BYU come home and still learn that they can find a way to win against their rival and a decent team in Utah.
Yep.
So this one to me has the edge because of when it happened and the circumstances involved.
I love a hashtag Go Cougs tweet when it's just a score.
Yes.
Greg did that last
2-1.
Very nice. Very nice. Love it.
All right, let's keep it rolling.
Okay, Coordinator's Corner. It's on demand. You can check it out. Good insight yesterday from Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick. Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick had great insight. Aaron Roderick said the Kansas State team, one of the coaches after the game said they tried to find two ear headsets because it was so loud they had one ear headsets. They couldn't hear. Well done.
This is the way, BYU fans.
It's kind of insight you get. Whew. Coordinator's Corner, it's awesome.
We need to bring back the drop shadow uniforms too. More of that. Up next, Hans Olsen joins the program to discuss his expectations for BYU following a huge win against Kansas State. Is he worried about the daytime slot and that BYU is an underdog against the Bears? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
We've been working on this all offseason. It's been the focus.
We got dudes that love ball.
The Cougs will recover. Look at his scoop and score. 10, 5, and touchdown.
There's nothing left in the tank. Guys, we're giving it all.
3 days later, still just as awesome. BYU fresh off a monumental win at home against Kansas State. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now over Zoom is the radio analyst for BYU football who stood next to Greg Rebel amidst all of the excitement. He is the former football BYU standout, Hans Olsen. Hans, how are you today?
I'm doing amazing. Fun to be on the show with you guys. I miss you. Like, when I don't get to talk to you inside a week or two, I just start to miss you both. So it's nice to be back.
You're the only one, so that's good to know. I laughed really hard during the game when the Cougarettes jumped on the field early prior to the end of the first quarter on the field goal attempt at the other end by Kansas State. And you said, BYU could have been called for 45 men on the field. That was the only kind of weird moment of the night because everything else was great for BYU.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe that they actually came on the field. And the officials didn't even stop the game. They let the field goal be kicked as they were still on the field. It was absolutely bizarre. Probably should have got a flag for too many on the field, but it was cracking me up too.
Hans, you're a man who can appreciate what this content does for a daily show because you host a daily show on KSL Sports Zone. What has it been like for you to observe BYU football massively exceeding expectations and talking about it every day.
It's such a breath of fresh air. It just is like filling my lungs with joy and happiness. Because, you know, people for years have been like, well, Hans is a Utah fan. Well, Hans is just a Ute homer. And it's like, no, I love good football. That's it. Give me good football. If it ends up being Utah State, if Utah State was playing good football, that's all I would want to talk about. I love talking about good football. And we have really good football right now, boys. And so it fills my heart with joy because this is the school I played for. It fills my heart with love and joy because it's the school that I get to be in the booth and call the games for. Like, and now I get this combination of amazing football with the school that I've played for, with the team that I call the games for, and I'm just as happy as any pig in any mud anywhere in this world.
Hans, you, like many BYU fans and observers, sat in your chair a month and a half ago, and like us, we're cautiously optimistic and kind of circling, oh, 6 wins would be a great step forward. How have your expectations shifted now that BYU has started 4-0?
Well, this Kansas State game did a lot, and it's going to continue to shift and evolve, but this Kansas State moved it a lot. And then SMU beating TCU and putting 66 points on them has shifted my thoughts and expectations for BYU quite a bit too. So there's a lot of movement. And I'll also throw this in. Anytime a team has their defense as a staple, I actually find more consistency and stability in it than if it was an offensive powerhouse. Because you can just have random things that go wrong with offense where a running back is holding it loose and drops it. A quarterback doesn't see a synced up safety and throws the quick flat and it's a pick six. And, you know, all the little things that can happen to an offense. When you've got a good defense that plays sound, it's not gimmicky. It's just sound defense. Then you can, it's a really solid coat rack to hang your hat on. And that's what they've got right now, is extremely sound defense. So I feel pretty confident and pretty comfortable in this team right now.
Defense can carry you, and can the offense score enough? We saw that at SMU, right? Go down and get the game-winning field goal. Now BYU plays at Baylor. It's a huge game. BYU's really been bad in day games. They've been amazing in night games for the most part, especially at home. Day games, really tough. BYU's a 3.5-point dog. What do you make of that? Are you concerned?
I'm not concerned because the odds makers are trying to get money. That's what they're doing. And I've never really bought lines as predictors. I buy lines as forcing people to put money on a game. So they just are setting lines that they think are going to collect bettors. And that's fine. And I'm sure that this is probably going to generate some money somewhere, somehow. And we'll see the line probably move here as the week continues. So that really isn't my concern. My concern is Baylor's defense right now. I was actually just watching some film this morning of them against Colorado, and I don't know how much you guys have watched or how much you hold up the numbers, but I'm 2.5 quarters in, and I've already seen 6 sacks. And I know that they end up this game with 8 sacks. And 8 sacks, no matter who you are, and I know Colorado's front is vulnerable, and I know Shador loves to hang on to the ball, but 8 sacks, no matter who you are, that's incredible. So, you know, my concern is that defense. My other concern is the current quarterback situation, where Sawyer has come in after Finn got injured against Utah. Sawyer has come in, and he's starting to find his bearings a little bit. And now he's going to get full practices, and he'll be probably a little bit more consistent. But Daquan Finn might get back as well. And Daquan Finn, he can be a two-way threat. So my concern is Baylor. I don't even care about the lines. They just are there to generate money and generate conversation. My worry is BYU being prepared and ready for these things they're going to see against Baylor.
Fair enough. Hans Olsen is with us on BYU Sports Nation, host of KSL Sports Zone, BYU football radio analyst. Okay, on the other side of that is the day game scenario. BYU has lost 10 consecutive daytime starts against FBS competition. It's a weird stat. So how much do you read into BYU's strange struggles in day kicks over the last three seasons, Hans?
It's bizarre. And, you know, you've got UAB that's in there on that streak. You've got Liberty that's in there on that streak. You do have some tough teams, but UAB and Liberty, you've got no business losing to home or road. It doesn't matter. So there are some bizarre circumstances and some bizarre losses that are a part of that thing. But I'm sure Kalani's aware of the streak. I'm sure he knows it and is probably paying attention to it. I just don't know how to even attach any expectations or thoughts or fears to it, if that makes sense, Spencer. I don't know how that really plays into it. Like, do I get my guys to go to sleep earlier? Do I feed them less eggs?
Leave Thursday now instead of Friday.
Yeah, I might get myself out there Thursday night and give myself a full Friday so I've got an early morning, and I get my guys up at 9 o'clock, get them out in the parking lot going through walkthroughs and get them to a high school field and moving around as much as I can, and then get them over to the stadium to kind of feel it out just so that they can experience a Waco morning before they actually experience it on game day. So, yeah, I think that that's a good idea, Jeremy. I just think that it's probably an overrated thing. It's just one of those numbers that's compiled randomly. But it's also something I would pay attention to if I was Kalani.
Yeah, it's too much to ignore for me. I know the team wants to be – now it's what – man, show us otherwise, right? Okay, let's do some hot take or not quick-fire responses here. Okay, we got a couple for you. Number one, BYU will win 9 regular season games.
So – That's a really hot take. And my hot take to go with that hot take is, if BYU wins 9 games, can you afford Kalani Sitake and Kevin Young? Because you're going to have to bring the Brinks truck to Kalani Sitake's house. I'm not even joking, guys. If they find their way to 9 wins, that would mean that they would have beat probably 3 top 25 ranked teams, potentially a second win in a row against their rival in the University of Utah. But that would give you wins, probably one against Oklahoma State. UCF is going to be ranked here in a week. I think UCF is one of the best 3 teams in the Big 12 right now. So that might give you a win against a UCF team that should finish the season ranked. An Arizona team that could finish the season ranked, because I could see them getting better as the season goes on. They've got one of the best quarterbacks and one of the best wide receiver combos. So the hot take on top of that is, could you afford Kevin Young and Kalani Sitake? Because you get the 7 wins with what they've put together, and you make sure that Kalani Sitake and Jay Hill and this group as it is currently constructed goes nowhere, because this schedule and their second year in the Big 12, and they're showing growth and they're showing development. It's not like they brought crazy transfer portal guys in that they've paid millions of dollars. They've just developed guys they had. And so it's going to cost you. You get the 9 wins. Mm. Just get that checkbook ready.
All right.
What's a checkbook?
So back in the 80s and 90s.
I was excited because sent tapes to my daughter this morning. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. I don't think I've written a check in the last decade.
I have to go to the bank to get a check now. Yeah.
All right, Hans, a couple of more as we finish up. On the spicy meter, how hot is this take? BYU is a top 4 team in the Big 12 Conference right now.
You know, that I would say that's a bell pepper.
Not that hot.
It's not that hot, man. I think that's just kind of a bland bell pepper, maybe even already sauteed in butter, deseeded. I feel like right now they're a top 4 team, and I don't question it. I think it's Utah, BYU, Central Florida, and maybe you can still talk Oklahoma State. Although Utah took care of Oklahoma State, did not have their starting DN, did not have their starting quarterback, did not have their starting linebacker. They're three of their best players, and they went to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State. So, and beat them more soundly than even the score showed.
Oh,
so
for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably put those four up there. And, you know, you might start talking about Iowa State. I think that they're going to be good. You could probably leave Kansas State outside of the top five, probably five, six. But I would say Iowa State probably behind Iowa State at this point. Kansas State behind Iowa State at this point. But I don't think that's a hot take.
Mm, okay.
That's exactly what I had to.
Okay. Yep. And then quickly as we finish up, BYU will remain in the top 25 the remainder of the regular season. Hot take or not?
That one's hotter than the last one. I would say that that's probably an Anaheim.
An Anaheim pepper. It's got some spice to it.
Yep, just a little bit. Like, you know, you'll throw an Anaheim into some Mexican rice just to give it a nice little twang, like a nice little kick.
Mm-hmm.
It's slightly hotter because I do think that that stretch of Oklahoma State, Central Florida, and Utah.
Yeah,
it's tough.
That three-game stretch, you know, to stay in the top 25, you'd have to go 2-1. 1-2 probably drops you outside of the top 25. Obviously, 0-3 drops you outside, and I don't know if you get back in because then you finish with Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston. So that three-game stretch is going to be tough. I'm going to go Anaheim, but put a little bit of black pepper on it.
Nice.
Just, you know, fresh cracked black pepper.
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, remind me that we need to start a cooking show, Hans. Moving forward. Always great to talk to you, brother. We appreciate the time. Be well.
You guys are awesome. Love you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Hans Olsen.
Hans Olsen giving us the pepper scale. I like that. We didn't ask for the pepper scale. We got it.
Bell peppers, Anaheim peppers with black crushed pepper.
I didn't even know what an Anaheim pepper was. I'd never heard of that in my life. And I looked it up. Ask for the review. Breaks down the pepper scale. No. The play is from Kansas State. Looks ahead to the big game with Baylor coming up tonight at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
After the break, Parker Kingston. He's been in the news.
I heard that.
For good reason.
John Boy treatment.
Recognized for his efforts in a unique way, and the state of Baylor football following just a heartbreaking loss at Colorado. Where are they mentally? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 22 BYU football, 3.5-point dog at Baylor Saturday morning. It is what it is. Head coach Kalani Sitake told the media about the challenge of playing a Baylor team coming off a tough loss in OT to Colorado.
They're coming off a heartbreaking loss. They had the game under control. So losing an overtime game, I know that they're in a tough spot right now. But knowing everything about Dave Aranda and what he does in this business, we'll have those guys rolling and he'll have them giving us their best shot. My job is to make sure that we bring our best shot.
Stocky also announced that running back LJ Martin is out for the game. Hope to have him back after the bye week against Arizona.
Speaking of Baylor, yesterday their head coach Dave Aranda spoke with the media about the state of his Bears team following that deflating gut punch overtime loss at Colorado on Saturday, but how the loss can help his team moving forward.
Really, that's more fuel to a fire, I guess. And so that is, you know, when something like that, when you do lose and you're just given more and more time to think about it, right, the stronger that fire burns.
Another level of intrigue to this game. On Saturday morning, noon Eastern, 10 a.m. Mountain, live on FS1 and on BYU Radio, we'll have you covered with BYU Sports Nation Game Day starting at 10 Eastern on BYU TV.
Bright and early, baby. Parker Kingston named Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. Not sure if you heard or saw it. Just kidding. 90-yard punt return touchdown where he ran 137 yards. Film room coming out tonight, by the way, with on the Satake Show, where I talked to Parker about it. 38-9 win over Kansas State. Kingston sixth in FBS in punt return average, averaging 20.2 yards per return this season.
A 90-yard return will do that.
That'll mess with the average.
BYU women's soccer beat Utah 2-1 last night, thanks to a brace from Allie Fryer. She'll join us in just a bit. Her second career brace against Utah, no less. Fryer's second goal came in the 83rd minute to give the Cougars a 2-1 win. Again, we'll talk with her in just a moment. With that victory, BYU improves to 4-4-2 on the season.
Both with the head? Is that what was that? And how about the celebration here at the end, which is pretty funny? Ready for it? Hey, no, get off me, get off me. I got to celebrate. Ready? Ready? Okay, yeah. Okay, hold on. I got a celebration. Yeah. Very nice. Women's volleyball climbed two spots in the ABC 8 poll to number 17 after a 3-0 week. The Cougars begin Big 12 play Thursday hosting the Primes of Colorado.
That's what they're called now?
I'm going to
no
say
longer
that.
The bus Thursday. Or the Primes?
Yeah, the Primes. Mm, yeah.
Okay. Good luck to BYU Women's Golf, who teed off earlier this morning at the Red Raider Invitational in Lubbock, Texas.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lenardi has BYU Men's Hoops as a 7 seed in bracketology this morning. They continue to climb despite not playing.
Only a 7 seed, Jared?
I know. I'm like, okay. You mean at 5, 6.
Hey, the rivalry with Utah brings out the best in our next guest. You bet, Allie Fryer is joining us
Baller.
To discuss the brace last night. And a good brace. Not like a knee
not
brace.
Not a knee brace, yeah.
But a good brace.
Yeah.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Maple Mountain represent.
They expect great results from us, and we're ready to produce that for people. There's a lot more to come this year.
Some players use their heads better than others. Allie Fryer is certainly one of those for BYU Women's Soccer. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Fresh off a brace, two goals and a win against Utah.
Yeah.
Allie Fryer,
Allie Fryer.
On BYUSN.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
I feel great. So much adrenaline was running through me. Uh-huh. So I definitely did not even feel the headers.
Is your head ever sore after a soccer game?
No.
Well let's talk about that. You've been through the ringer this year.
It's just a little bit.
Your jaw, your head, you've been banged up.
The only time I had hurt after a game was when I got kicked from like me to you against UCLA in the side of the face and took me out a little bit for a week, but I'm good now.
Well, thank goodness you're back.
Yes.
Because you're delivering for BYU.
Heck yeah.
What were the emotions like last night against Utah?
Oh, it was just crazy. Like, I'm still feeling it. I'm just so excited still. I just can't stop smiling, like, all night. I could not sleep. I was just so happy for my team. Like, we had earned it. We'd worked so hard. And coming off such, like, a hard game before against TCU, it was nice that we finally could get a win.
It's hard to win games. And this is a team, you're one of the two returning starters from a team that went to the College Cup. And this program's amazing. Guys have gone through a lot of injuries that you didn't anticipate. It was going to be hard enough with, like, all the new people that are really talented but young. How's this season been, and what's it been like to win, what, 2 of 3 in the Big 12 to start? You didn't like the TCU loss, right?
Yes.
But beating Arizona State and beating Utah. So
yes. Honestly, I love this year, and I don't think a lot of people would think that just coming off of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggled really bad with anxiety last year, and so it's kind of a tough season for me. But this year, it's just fun to build and grow with my team and just learn each game. And each game is just a challenge, but it's super fun to go out there and just battle it out with my girls. There's seriously nothing like it.
Let's dive into that. What did you go through? How have you dealt with that, the anxiety?
Honestly, I don't think a lot of people talk about how hard college sports are.
Mm-hmm.
But my team helped me a lot, and my coach, Jen, she really helped me a ton. And I finally asked her for help, and I've been able to deal with it, and I think it's something that's a strength for me now, but it used to be a weakness. But
yeah. And that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Ask for help.
Yes. So if you're struggling, ask for help. But
amen. Yeah. Amen. That's awesome.
Fresh off your second brace against Utah specifically. Look, I know you've scored 2+ goals in a lot of games in your life.
Yes.
But to do it against Utah.
Twice.
Twice?
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, there's no feeling like it. It's so great, especially against a rival team. It's just awesome. And last year we did it. Me and Liv Griffiths both had 2 goals, and it's exciting. But I think this year is just even better because of our season and how we've struggled a little bit. And then finally just getting those goals in, it was just like finally, I did it. We earned it. We worked together, and things are finally falling into place, which is great.
And then some epic celebrations, Jeremy.
Okay, tell us about the celebration, because during the break, you said someone influenced you into doing this particular dance on the second one. Right.
Okay.
Right
here. Yeah. Yeah. I did not know that they caught that on video.
And then there's the lift.
And the lift. Okay. First one, Bryce Hall, famous TikToker.
Who was here at the football game.
Football game.
Stayed the weekend.
Yes. I saw him at the football game. Great game, by the way.
Oh, my
Incredible.
God.
Seriously amazing. So proud of them. But I told him, I said, if I score, will you do my celebration? He's like, what's your celebration? And usually I do this now. Because I don't know if you saw the Arizona State game.
Okay.
I might have done that in the goalie's face. And so when I scored against TCU, Jen was doing that to me on the sideline. So I'm like, okay, that's my new thing. But he's like, okay, you got to hit this dance. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And so in the moment, I was like, I got to do it for Bryce Hall.
You did it.
And then before the game, Jen goes, you guys are going to fly. And I started laughing because I thought that was cheesy. And so I go, me when Jen tells me to fly. And I was like, that's got to be our celebration. And I was joking. And I don't think Mac knew that I was joking. So she's like, Allie, come here. And I was like, okay, we're hitting this. And I did. And the pictures make me laugh so hard when I see them now.
That's great. This angle's so good in slow-mo.
It's an old
come here.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go. Let's get up.
Allie Fryer. Allie Fryer playing the role of Jennifer Grey in this with Patrick Swayze.
My favorite movie, by the way.
Yes.
So,
is it?
Yes.
Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
That's funny.
I love that movie.
That's funny.
Yes. So,
what a great moment. Okay. Okay. This season, you have way more pressure on your shoulders, but you're dealing with it in a different way.
Yes.
Because all these goal scorers are gone, and then you turn around and you go, oh, Ellie, shoot, ACL. Aaron, you've been sick and getting kicked in the face too. How have you dealt with the pressure of being the main goal scorer? Because it seems like you're having fun with it. You like
Yes.
it.
I think I finally had to realize that it's okay to make mistakes and not everything is about stats. When I go into a game and I'm thinking, okay, all I have to, I have to score, I'm not going to score because that's just not how I do it. Maddie Gates, she's our, she used to be our mental strength coach for the soccer team. And she always just told us, focus on the task and the outcome will come. And I finally really bought into that this year. And so when I go out there, I'm just, okay, play my game, stay high and central. Jen makes me stay central, and I now know why, because I'm always in the right spot now, I guess.
But, and now you can fly.
Yes, and now you can fly. You guys are going to fly. And we did. We did.
You did.
Yes.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's never going to live that down, because
no.
I will continually bring it up with
her. You should. She probably doesn't even remember saying that. But
are they going to fly, Jen?
How do you feel like you flew in this game? Yeah.
Awesome. Outstanding. Okay, let's preview the Oklahoma State game at home on Thursday. You turn your attention to the Cowgirls who come to Provo. You're trying to get to 3-1 in Big 12 play. So what do you know about Oklahoma State at this point?
That they're a good team. I mean, we've played them before. Every team in the Big 12 is going to be a good match. So I think just going in, thinking that they're going to be hard and we're going to have to battle through it. And same exact thing with every other team. So.
Hey, let's get to 3-1. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma.
Exactly. And shout out Maple Mountain. I live in the boundaries now. You're one of the greats. They won state last year, right?
So proud
a couple
of
years. It's awesome. Chrome and Hook, you. It's great.
Great to have you on the show, Allie.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hustle,
continue
let's go.
To fly.
You will fly.
Thank you.
You will fly.
I hope I fly.
After the break, what is your hottest take about BYU football? Tell us through social media, won't you? This is BYU SN.
Spence, lift me up.
You will fly.
Of BYU fans everywhere.
What is your hottest take about BYU football right now? That is our question of the day as we welcome you back. Our elite response of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Holyoke B on X, who answers, the Holy War will be a battle for the Big 12 championship bid.
That'd be fun.
Automatic qualifying status in the college football playoff, and both teams will be undefeated in the top 10 by November 9th.
That would be the biggest game in the history of the rivalry if that happened.
That is full on a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That might be a 40.
That is a ghost pepper times 10.
Yeah, it's up there, man. That would be amazing.
Today's Rise is shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Women's soccer, first Big 12 win over Utah. Now they're in the same league. Nice to beat the Utes, of
2-1. Shot to get to 3-1 to beat Oklahoma State.
Come on, man. Let's go.
Our thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen, and we just talked to her, Allie Fryer.
There's probably an air fryer joke in there somewhere, some pun. Mm-hmm. Next time. Sorry to notice Peter ran out of time. Lift me up, Spence.
You will fly. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jamie Shepard. Watch AFR and BYU football with Kalani Sitake beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight on the app. Go Cougs!